the Fed, Jerome Powell last week in his press conference, he said something very important. We can be at 2.5% inflation on the way down, and he's okay with that. They don't have to get all the way to 2.5%, just a half to 2.5 to 2%. Even Austin Goolsbee said that, who's dovish.
Get ready for a new episode of KP Talks Dollars and Cents. Learn financial literacy and get real-time updates on all things housing, finance, and real estate. So let's get started. Here's your host, Kevin Perenio.
Hey, it's KP coming to you live from Corona, California. It is just about midnight here on the West Coast, almost Tuesday. We have a lot to talk about, a little bit of recap from the Fed's meeting last week, and why there is still some misinformation out there about how many rate cuts and what would make the Fed cut rates. So remember, the dot plot came out last week. They said they're going to have lower rates in 2024. They're going to have, they put in there about 75 basis points worth of cutting. Now remember, this is just the first dot plot we've seen when they paused and said there will be cuts next year. Okay, so there's going to be another meeting on January 31st, and there's no dot plot there. Then we have a March meeting. I think it's like March 12th. Okay, you have another dot plot there, and you'll have a lot of information between now and then. So don't we think generally that market conditions are deteriorating? And so then they have a meeting. They skip April, and they have meetings in May, June, and July. I think it's like May 1st, July, June, middle of June, and then July 31st. So remember, every other meeting, they put out the dot plot where they say what they're going to do. That will change. What will make it change? Here's something I talked about last week, but I want to make sure I kind of explain it so we all think about it and we're watching it. The nominal rate versus the real interest rate, right? We talk about lag effects all the time. The reason they stopped at this range, this 525 to 550 on the Fed funds rate, is because it is sufficiently restrictive. Restricting the economy, restricting growth, restricting demand for anything, obviously, that's interest rate sensitive. Small business loans, how to operate their companies, car loans, credit card loans, housing. We've been in a full-blown recession since they've been raising rates. And so they stopped raising. So this is how, they're not going higher, they're high, because they're calling it sufficiently restrictive, and they are afraid of the lag effect and what's going to happen. Now, what's crazy when we're talking about inflation is we also use the word disinflation, right? Deflation, if you will. So personal consumption expenditure is a report coming out Friday. That's the Fed's favorite gauge of inflation. It's actually called the Fed deflator. So in their tripart mandate, the three-part mandate, price stability or inflation fight is something that they're taking care of. We are now importing deflation from China, who is seeing their inflation come down. They had a half a percent negative CPI report. Our PPI report's been pretty tame because we're buying stuff from the biggest manufacturer in the world in China, which is fighting deflation over there. So we start to import those things, okay? You have a higher real interest rate. So without the Fed raising the Fed funds rate, deflation is causing the real rate to go higher, which is even more restrictive. So let me just break it down real quick. 550 is the terminal sufficiently restrictive rate, also known as the nominal rate. Currently, inflation is at 3.2%, all right? So that means 5.5 minus 3.2, we're at 2.3. So the real interest rates, how they're impacting our economy here at home, is 2.3%. We're not going any higher. That's it. We're staying at 5.5 on the nominal, the terminal rate, the sufficiently restrictive Fed funds rate. If our inflation continues to trend down, which it is, including this number we might see here on Friday, let's say that that number, that 3.2% inflation number, goes down to 2.5%. And we're at 5.5% still. You now have your real rate, that difference, that delta, that spread, just went from 2.3% up to 3%. So that's 70 basis points more restrictive real rate on the economy. That's not good. And what's causing that? Disinflation, right? So, you know, people say, well, on this dot plot, the Fed said there's going to be, you know, 3 rate hikes next year. That's not true. There are 75 basis points of rate hikes currently baked into the dot plot. That doesn't mean they're going to do 3 25 basis point rate cuts. In fact, most times when the Fed is trying to let the sufficiently restrictive rate stay high for longer, it does have a really restrictive, sufficiently restrictive impact. And that first cut is usually pretty high. My guess is it will be at least 50 basis points. I've read that in the majority of the rate cuts, the first cut, it is usually a higher cut than most people think. What else came in higher? 82% of the companies in Q3 earnings report in the S&P 500 beat their earnings. So we've got GDP numbers coming out this week to talk about the growth of our economy. We saw retail sales last week, surprisingly strong. Remember, our economy is consumer-driven. European Union, Bank of England, Bank of Australia, even Bank of Japan, everyone just kind of left their rates alone. So does that mean all the central banks around the world that are peddling their treasuries and their bonds and their boons and their yuan and their this and that, are they all now done kind of in this high, rate hiking cycle and just kind of waiting it out? I think so. So we'll get some information this week. Most importantly, again, the PCE number comes out on Friday. That is the Fed deflator. And it doesn't have as much housing in it, right, as the CPI. So when housing prices keep going up, it doesn't show up as much as the personal consumption expenditure. What are we personally spending our money on in real time, you know, last month? So we're going to see more lag effects of the sufficiently restricted, interest rates as it impacts our economy. And then the Fed is going to have to start managing the business cycle more. Remember, their three-part mandate, right? Full employment. That's a gauge of a strong economy. There's been a lot less jobs open and a lot more productivity and a lot less wage inflation. And all that, is a sign of a strong labor market, but it is softening. And so we aren't gaining 300,000 jobs every month in the monthly jobs report. We're down below 200,000 jobs. That's less jobs being created. That's less good news. And 500,000 jobs came out. Open jobs came out of the JOLTS report. That's 500 less jobs available. That's a softening labor economy. So we're going to watch all this stuff and see how the Fed manages the business cycle going forward. Right now, business is great. We'll see about Q4. There's a lot of projections for Q1 and Q2 to see negative GDP growth. I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of surprises to the upside. But the soft landing has ended. It only gets harder from here. And with rates being sufficiently restrictive, we'll see where we go. All right. Did you know that there is a new ocean in Africa? There is a 35-mile crack that has formed in Ethiopia since 2005. It moves like a millimeter a year or something like that. There are three tectonic plates below it. The Somali, Arabian, and Nubian tectonic plates are now splitting apart. And they say that some rock underneath is, way underneath in these magma and the plates and all that stuff is creating an ocean. This is going to be new. So in 5 to 10 million years, we'll be long gone. I don't even know if they'll be a Fed then. But just think of how insignificant what we are doing is. If you're feeling bad, it's the holidays. I know that people have a tough time. Just think that like a new ocean's forming in 5 to 10 million years and we're just shadows and dust in this world. France, their economy is not as big as Apple, which is $3 trillion. And we're watching the stock market. I am not a financial advisor. I'm not responsible for your losses, only your profits. But I will say, watching the Fed manage the business cycle in an election year with inflation being pretty much tamed will be interesting. And one last note, by the way, the Fed, Jerome Powell last week in his press conference, he said something very important. We can be at 2.5% inflation on the way down, and he's okay with that. They don't have to get all the way to 2.5%, just a path to 2.5 to 2%. Even Austin Goolsbee said that, who's dovish. So that was one big reason why I wasn't sure where we're going to go at the rate cycle. Like, are we really going to get to the 2%? But they were very clear, Jerome Powell was, that we can be on the path to get to 2%. We don't have to get to 2% for them to start cutting. So last mile, here we are. There's a great Axios article about the last mile. Talk about that on Thursday. Cheers.
You've been listening to KP Talks Dollars and Cents, a top-rated show for those who want to learn about the economy and mortgage environment. Tune in each week for more episodes, and please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Kevin Perenio does not render or offer to render personalized investment or tax advice through KP Talks Dollars and Cents. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice. For more info, follow KP Talks Dollars and Cents on all of our social channels.